It's very nice to see some people here at this very last session of the conference. I'm actually going to be talking about public health topics, which maybe a lot of us don't know about. I'm representing the Health Marketing Research Center, a CDC Center of Excellence, and the Departments of Biostatistics and Health Services from the School of Public Health at the University of Washington. The goal of this paper is two things. The first one is to use the stages of change model to determine if the best intervention target to decrease population smoking, to determine them. And then second, to see if health marketing principles would suggest the same target. Just a show of hands here, who's ever heard of the stages of change model? Great. And health marketing? Okay, this is not going to be as weird as I feared. Okay, I'm going to do a lot of different things here. I'm going to define stages of change model. I'm going to use some data to estimate the probability of changing stages. I'm going to use those probabilities to make a multi-state life table, and that will help me calculate the expected number of years spent in the maintenance stage. Then, we're going to look at some hypothetical public health interventions, which alter exactly one of those probabilities, and decide which one of those is the best in terms of the one that gives us the most years spent in maintenance. Then we're going to compare that best intervention to what health marketing would have recommended, and using data from smoking. The stages of behavioral change, often known as the Prochaska or trans-theoretic model, start with pre-contemplation. That is my favorite, where you're not even thinking about stopping smoking. And you move on to contemplation, preparation, action, and finally maintenance, which in this case would be long-term smoking abstinence. The idea is that a person starts out in one of these stages and then moves to the right and eventually ends up in maintenance, although unfortunately they might also relapse and move back to lower stages. For this analysis, I had to add two stages. I had to add one for never smokers and also one for dead. I used a large data set to calculate these transition probabilities, these two-year transition probabilities. Just as an example, if a person is starting out in pre-contemplation, 2 years later, two-thirds of them, 63%, will still be in pre-contemplation. 16% will have moved up to contemplation, and only 6% will have achieved maintenance. On the other hand, if people start out in the action stage, 2 years later, 59% of them have moved up to maintenance. Now, we use those probabilities to create a multi-state life table, starting at age 40. I'm just going to give you one example of a life table. This is a hypothetical population where 100,000 people, all of them in pre-contemplation and all 40 years old, start out. And that's represented by a green bar, and you can see that everybody's green at age 40. 2 years later, remember we saw that 63% of the green people would still be green, but that means that the bar is a lot smaller and some of the others some of the other stages are showing up. The number of people in pre-contemplation gets smaller and smaller over time, whereas those red bars get bigger and bigger. The red bars are maintenance. The black bars are people who have died. Of course, that's eventually everyone. If we look at the area that is not black on this figure, that is the life expectancy, and it's 36 years for this group. And the red area is the expected number of years spent in maintenance, and that's 26 years. So what we see here is that even if we take people in pre-contemplation at age 40, that their life expectancy is 36 years, of which they will spend 26 in maintenance. So that's not quite as bad as we thought. Now let's turn to public health interventions. We've seen that people move among stages with certain probabilities. So we can improve population health by changing those probabilities. Suppose we could change just one probability. Which one would we change? If you were taking a disparities perspective, you probably would think that you wanted to move more people from pre-contemplation up to contemplation because they are, in some sense, the worst off. So we might try to make that probability 10% higher. Or from a prevention perspective, we might want to lower the probability that never smokers would start to smoke, and then we would make that probability 10% lower. What would the social marketing perspective be? For those of you who don't know, social marketing uses marketing principles to achieve specific behavioral goals. And there are a lot of principles, but I've written two of them down here. One of them, which is called low-hanging fruit, target the markets that are most ready for change. Okay, don't try to sell your product to people who have no interest. Try to sell it to people who are pretty interested. And principle two, customer relationship management, or customer loyalty, on the principle that it's cheaper to keep a current customer than to get a new one. So the low-hanging fruit intervention would be to target those people in action and try to improve the probability that they move up to maintenance. So you might increase that probability by 10%. And customer relationship management would target those people who are in maintenance and try to keep them from getting out of maintenance. So you might lower that probability. So how do we decide which intervention is the best? Well, here's what we did. We improved each transition probability 10% sequentially. Each time we calculated a new multi-state life table and used that to calculate the expected years spent in maintenance. Then we compared the interventions and we chose the one that gave us the most years in maintenance. Here's one way of looking at the interventions we considered. The green probabilities are the probabilities of moving to the right, of improving, and so we increased each one of those by 10%. The light blue are the probabilities of moving one stage to the left, and so we looked at decreasing them by 10%. If you'd like to see that in words, who would not? I'll point out a couple. Intervention one is the one that's moving more people from pre-contemplation up to contemplation, and we call that the disparities approach. Number seven, moving more people from action to maintenance, that's low-hanging fruit. Number eight is keeping people in maintenance from starting to smoke. That was our customer relationship. And keeping never smokers from becoming smokers, that's prevention. So here are the results. We had three different data sets, and we looked at a lot of different initial distributions. If everyone started out, in pre-contemplation, all three data sets found that intervention seven was the best. Oops. Well, I don't know how to go back, but, all right. Intervention seven is the one that, low-hanging fruit, that moves more people from action to maintenance. If you look at all of these, you'll see that intervention seven was kind of the winner in a lot of these situations, although number eight and number nine were occasionally winners too. So let me just summarize that. Intervention seven, which was the low-hanging fruit, was usually the best if the population of interest was people who had ever smoked. Intervention eight, the customer relationship management, was usually best if everybody started out in maintenance already. And intervention nine, prevention, was best if the population of interest had a lot of never smokers. So the social marketing principles really worked. They really picked out that we wanted to look at the people in action and in maintenance. So what stages would you target now in your public health program? Well, you usually would think about targeting people who are smoking. And those would be people in pre-contemplation, contemplation, or preparation. I bet Francesca wishes he'd used shorter words for some of these categories. Those were our smoking cessation interventions, number one through five, and they were never, ever selected. If you wanted to target former smokers, that would be the people in action and maintenance, then some kind of relapse prevention, like our number six, seven, and eight, were best. And they were best whether the population was former smokers or even current smokers. And finally, if you wanted to target never smokers, that would be our number nine, and it was best if the population had a lot of never smokers. So why wouldn't you want to target current smokers? Well, our life table example showed that current smokers, the people in pre-contemplation, did move on to higher stages, even under the status quo. Quitting smoking is easy. I've done it 1,000 times. It's staying quit that's hard. And apparently there's more benefit to be gotten by concentrating on relapse prevention. There are, of course, a lot of limitations. The 3 data sets all had terrible flaws, but fortunately they were complementary. And so I think most of that is covered. I worry most that the data are optimistically biased, because the kind of people who will give you longitudinal data on their behaviors usually have better behaviors than people who don't. We did some sensitivity analyses, and if there's time, I'll show you what those were. It wasn't a big deal. We didn't present results by gender, and we started at age 40. Nobody really cares about 40-year-old smokers. People want to know about children usually, and we obviously need better data to get that. These are sort of unrealistic interventions, too. Remember, we looked at it changing exactly one probability. And real interventions, we couldn't think of any that wouldn't actually change more than one transition probability. And if the intervention was actually successful, then that might change some of the probabilities as well, because it would change the community norms, and people would be perhaps less likely to smoke. Finally, we didn't look at cost effectiveness, and obviously if the one we picked is best cost 10 times as much as the second best, we would go with the second best. In conclusion, we found support for smoking prevention and relapse prevention rather than for smoking cessation, by my definition. The health marketing principles, although they seemed rather heartless, actually did agree with the optimum intervention from our stages of change model. And this was true even for the worst off smokers, those in pre-contemplation. So we've come up with some support for the use of health marketing principles to target smoking interventions. Would this be true for other behaviors, younger ages, and by sex? I'm thinking probably. But I really don't have the data to answer that. I would love it if any of you knew of longitudinal data sets that had measured stages of change over time in a reasonably large number of people. So I hope that someone can put me onto some of the more data sets. I have had to suppress an awful lot of detail, which, as a statistician, of course, it hurts me not to be able to tell you everything I did. If any of you are interested, you can pick up the paper. Well, I have a few copies with me, but it's online at this URL, or just send me an email, and I'll be happy to happy to send it to you. Thank you.
Okay, we have a few minutes for questions. If anyone has a question.
Okay.
So well, I actually have a question.
Oh, you have a question. Okay.
So you looked at the probabilities, but you talked a little bit about these aren't real interventions. I wonder if there's a way to quantify in some way how likely an intervention was to really change those transition probabilities.
I'm passing on that, of course. Yeah, somebody would have to come up with it. This is just a general idea that you're better off targeting the people at the right side of that model rather than the left side. But every intervention we've thought of, such as quit lines, I mean, people, you have to be sort of in preparation to call up the quit line, but then the first thing the quit line does is make you come up with a time you plan to stop, and then they keep calling you up and sending you Nicorette and things like that. So it's really hard to know exactly which of the probabilities. I mean, it would probably really be affecting several. There's no reason, of course, that you couldn't do exactly what I've done using modifying several probabilities. It was easier to do what I did, but it could be generalized.
That's very interesting. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, our next